From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Recently, Dr. Cairns began a series of studies in Psalm 138, a psalm of David's testimony to the Lord's gracious provision. The great theme of this psalm is worship, particularly how God's people are to worship him. This subject is especially appropriate in this day of man-centered worship. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy a devotional thought from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon.
This morning's text is found in Psalm 120 and verse 5. Woe is me that I sojourn in Meshech, that I dwell in the tents of Kedar. As a Christian, you have to live in the midst of an ungodly world, and it is of little use for you to cry, Woe is me. Jesus did not pray that you should be taken out of the world, and what he did not pray for, you need not desire. Better far in the Lord's strength to meet the difficulty and glorify him in it. The enemy is ever on the watch to detect inconsistency in your conduct. Be therefore very holy. Remember that the eyes of all are upon you, and that more is expected from you than from other men. Strive to give no occasion for blame. Let your goodness be the only fault they can discover in you. Like Daniel, compel them to say of you, We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Seek to be useful as well as consistent. Perhaps you think, if I were in a more favorable position, I might serve the Lord's cause, but I cannot do anything where I am. But the worse the people are among whom you live, the more need have they of your exertions. If they be crooked, the more necessity that you should set them straight. And if they be perverse, the more need have you to turn their proud hearts to the truth. Where should the physician be but where there are many sick? Where is honor to be won by the soldier but in the hottest fire of the battle? And when weary of the strife and sin that meets you on every hand, consider that all the saints have endured the same trial. They were not carried on downy beds to heaven, and you must not expect to travel more easily than they. They had to hazard their lives unto the death in the high places of the field, and you will not be crowned until you also have endured hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Therefore, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong.
Word have ashamed with boldness pursue the approval of Christ in all that you do. Proclaim his great word, be consumed in his love, pursue him alone until with him above. Rest toward the mark, straight toward the goal, press onward.
On the night before the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, he instituted an ordinance by which his people were to remember him until his second coming. Known as the Lord's Supper, or Communion, this simple yet profound ceremony pictures Christ's broken body and shed blood through the common elements of bread and wine. Through the centuries, this observance has been a precious and solemn time for the Lord's people. Yet it has also been a subject of much abuse by those who come to this table of the Lord. At the extreme, a person's attitude toward it was a matter of life or death. During the time of the Reformation, many people were burned at the stake for refusing to accept the insistence of the Roman Catholic Church that the elements of communion literally became Christ's flesh and blood. Some groups see these elements as mere symbols, while others find in the Lord's table a much deeper significance. Dr. Alan Cairns recently wrote a short book in which he deals with the Lord's Supper from the scriptural teaching on the subject. Simply titled, The Lord's Supper, the book is subtitled, An Earthly Encounter with the Heavenly Christ. Its aim is to stir the hearts of believers to enter into the joyful fellowship our Savior holds out to us as we eat this bread and drink this cup in remembrance of him. Let the Bible Speak has obtained a limited number of copies of this publication, which are available to our listeners. The price for each copy of the Lord's Supper is $8, which includes shipping and handling. You may have a copy by sending your check for $8, made out to Let the Bible Speak. You may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may email us to reserve a copy at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Be sure to request your copy of the Lord's Supper today. This week, Dr. Cairns is preaching a message entitled Christ-Centered Worship, part of a series based on Psalm 138. The text, the opening phrase of verse 2, defines true biblical worship, which, as we've already seen, is our response to who God is. Then the text denotes the way to worship. The psalmist worshiped toward God's holy temple, that place which in its every part typified the Lord Jesus Christ. So our worship is to be toward Christ, who is our only mediator. He alone is the divine standard for true worship. This flies in the face of the modern concept of worship experiences, which try to appeal to whatever is up to date or relevant. God alone has the right to say how we are to worship Him. The elements of the world have no place in true worship. And now to bring God's Word for today, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
You go back to Deuteronomy chapter 12. Now, I realize that this must be understood in spiritual terms for us. And I say that right up front for somebody otherwise is likely to say I'm calling for physical violence. I am not. The children of Israel, however, were God's earthly people. They were sent into a physical situation. They were faced with people already in possession. They were faced with gods already being worshipped. And verse 2 says, utterly destroy all the places wherein the nations which ye shall possess serve their gods. Verse 3, overthrow their altars, break down their pillars, burn their groves with fire, hew down the graven images of their gods, and destroy the names of them out of that place. Verse 13, take heed to thyself that thou offer not thy burnt offering in every place that thou shalt, that thou seest. Take heed. In other words, the Lord said there's a place where I will be worshipped. There is a way in which I will be worshipped. And no other. Now, in so-called Christianity, and this predates even the Roman Catholic Church, so we can't blame it all on them, though they have continued it, and they have gloried in it. But there has been this propensity to go into a heathen situation and to accept as much of that heathenism as can possibly be accepted and put a so-called Christian face on it so that you have the worship of devils with a crucifix. You have the worship of devils with a scriptural text added to it. And this is the very opposite to what God commands. He's saying, I am instituting the worship that is truly divine, and I'm instituting the place of the worship and the methods of the worship, and I'm banning everything that is of merely human origin, and I am outlawing everything that is of mere human innovation. He condemned the Jews in later times for their worship, even when they were proud of it. Remember what he said in Isaiah 65? If you look at verses 2 and 3 and then verse 5, he says, I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts, a people that provoked me to anger continually to my face, they that sacrificeth in gardens, burneth incense upon altars of brick. In other words, that were deliberately breaking the command of Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 5, which say, stand by thyself. This is the Jew to other people. Stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. They were proud of their worship. We feel good about our worship. But God says, these are a smoke in my nose, a fire that burneth all the day. Now, this is one area where we need to bow down before God and accept that He alone has the right to establish how we are to worship Him. This is what's called the regulative principle of worship. I'm not going into the regulative principle in general today or in any detail. What I'm dealing with is a very particular aspect of it. And that is simply that the elements and content of our worship must center on and faithfully express the glorious truths of the gospel of the finished work of Jesus Christ. Understand what I'm saying? The content, the method, the elements that we introduce into the worship of the church or even into personal worship must center on the gospel and must faithfully express the glorious truth of Christ's finished work. Anything else is abominable to God. There's no other way to worship. As I said, this is one area where we need to bow down submissively. And that's something that many refuse to do. Let me give you a couple of examples. There's a magazine that preachers get. Some do. I don't. But I was reading from their summer 2001 issue. They carried a couple of articles called Leadership Journal. And they carried a couple of articles that highlight this problem. First article is an interview with a professional marketer, a Christian who's a professional in marketing. And he spoke of how retailers were going about their business. Retailers no longer simply open up a shop and try to sell you an item. All the ladies will know this immediately. Even I, who am most insensitive to these things, even I recognize it. You go into a store, and what they're aiming to do now is to provide an experience, merely than market a product. And of course, in providing the experience, they're going to market the product. And as he described this, the interviewer said to him, asked him, well, how does all this apply to the church? And I'm delighted with his reply. He said, it doesn't. Underline this. It doesn't. And I'm quoting, when the church gets into the business of staging experiences, that quickly becomes idolatry. And then he went on to say, increasingly, you find people talking about the worship experience rather than the worship service. And this reflects what's happening in the world. And he's dead on right. Now, the next article was by a preacher. And he says, and I quote, people are on a search for the spiritual. Somehow or other, he seems to have forgotten Romans chapter 3, where Paul, inspired by God, quotes the Old Testament saying, there is none that seeketh after God. So whatever they're on a search for, it's not the God of truth. But anyway, he says, people are on a search for the spiritual. And what they're looking for is far more experiential than cerebral. Now listen to this. Instead of thinking their way into feeling, they are feeling their way into thinking. Now put these together. We have a marketer and a minister. And the marketer sees the danger of taking the ways of the world and bringing them into the church. And the minister's pleading that we do that very thing. The result is worship. That is a feel-good exercise that may include anything that's relevant. That's the buzzword. Anything that speaks the language of today. That's why you can have rock music. That music, born in hell, conceived by the devil, brought out of a culture, if you want to call it that, and that's the proper name for it is out of a worship of sin, Satan, and hell. Brought out of a culture of permissivism, wicked immorality, deliberate breach of the law of God, that every part of it intended to express a total repudiation of God. And now we are told you can take that, you can bring it in, you can sanctify it, you can offer it up to God, and it will be well pleasing in His sight. And I tell you, when Satan is welcome in heaven, then you can offer that to God, but not until then. Once you get into the business of creating an experience, it's the experience that matters. And we are, listen, we are feeling our way into thinking. We're going to define truth by what we feel, rather than control what we feel by absolute truth. You have jettisoned Christianity, and you have laid hold of this modern, well, it's really not all that modern. I'm fed up listening to postmodernism. It's as much modern or postmodern as the devil himself, this so-called modern notion that there are no absolutes. Sinners have never believed in absolutes. Sinners have believed in themselves and their lusts, and it's still the same today. Let me give you another couple of examples. I could go on all day in this, you know, but let me give you a couple of examples. We got an email. I laughed at it, but it really is very sad. I got an email this last week from a gentleman introducing himself. I am a Christian comedian, asking for a meeting. He'd even do a Sunday morning. He could be here making you laugh this morning. I usually have my airfare plus $1,500 or $1,350. Since I'm going to be in your area, I'm willing to leave out the airfare. Thank you. And I'm even willing to give you a cut price. You can have me for $750. I wouldn't let him put his, well, I'd be careful here, his feet in this pulpit if he was to pay me $1,500. I want to go to a music hall and listen to a clown, I'll go. But don't tell me it's the worship of God. It's not.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening, and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.